As I promised in the morning, I just want to put a little flesh and blood on those three laws for personal communication that we were talking about, and then we will extend heaven's invitation and thank you so very much for your reverence and your respect and for your commitment to Jesus on this great day. Law number one, we said, was to listen intently. And over the years, I have been guilty of politely listening. And when you don't listen intently, then you forget you're not able to connect with the message that is being conveyed to you. When our son was sitting with one of the surgeons in Nashville and they were talking to us about doing brain surgery, do you think that I was politely listening? No, I was listening intently. And I was concentrating on every word that came out of the surgeon's mouth. And so when you and I engage in conversation with each other, that's how we should listen. We should be listening intently. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 4, that's a fascinating comment that you have seen throughout your Bible in Mark chapter 4 at verse number 23. Where the record says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That was a refrain that Jesus made over and over and over again. And so if you were to trace that phrase from Mark chapter 4 at verse 23 to Revelation chapter 3 around verse 22, you will find about 15 times this particular phrase in Scripture. And so when you do your own research, I hope that you will find that to be a great blessing for you. We need to make certain that when we listen, we are concentrating on what is coming out of the person's mouth. You can't sit there and try to figure out how you're going to reply with regard to what comes out of their mouth, because that means that you're not listening intently. In the second place, we need to speak carefully but honestly, because once you say something, you can't take it back. So if you call me fat and ugly and then you just say, well, you know, Brother David, I was just kidding, you know, and then, I mean, already God has you on record because that came straight from your heart. Now, it could be that I am fat, but you don't have to tell me. You know, maybe you could kind of dress it up. But what I'm saying is when these words come out of our mouths, and sometimes in impassionate statements when we are trying to one-up each other. I know y'all don't know anything about that in your family life, but husbands and wife get into this tit-for-tat. And there seems to be no cutting off. There seems to be no dropping place where you can just drop the whole conversation and walk away. And it gets worse and worse until somebody says something that is so ungodly that the conversation is broken. And not only is the conversation broken, there probably won't be anything else said the rest of the day or the rest of the week, or maybe sometimes even the rest of the month. In Proverbs chapter 13, at verse number 3, the Bible says, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Sometimes we implode, sometimes we destroy ourselves because we don't know when to shut it down. And there are some people, if you give them enough rope and if you give them enough room, they'll turn themselves in. You won't have to do anything. They will do it to themselves. In Proverbs chapter 24, at verse number 26, the record says, he kisses the lips who gives a right answer. I've wrestled with that phrase for quite some time, and recently it dawned on me that in the first century, they don't normally salute each other the way that we do in the Western world. I know when I was stationed in Turkey, those men, and I mean big burly guys, would grab you by your shoulders and they would plant a real kiss on both of your cheeks. And there was nothing funny about those guys. You hear me? Nothing whatsoever. But this passage of Scripture is a fascinating passage of Scripture because in antiquity, the people who only kissed lips knew each other and were so intimately acquainted with each other that that's how they greeted each other. And those people that kissed lips, they shared intimate things that they would share with no one else. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. Because you look in our society today, that's all people do is kiss. And there's nothing behind it. It's nothing but carnality and worldliness. But in the first century, it wasn't that way. When they kissed lips, it was because they put ultimate trust in the person whose lips they were touching. I think that that's a fascinating passage of Scripture. And then, of course, in Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 15, I may have cited this passage in passing this morning, but in Ephesians chapter 4 at verse number 15, the record says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." See, I know too many people who want to speak truth to me, and they want to speak truth to me because they want it to hurt. Y'all hear me? See, there's a big difference in you telling me the truth to help me, and then you're telling me the truth because you want it to hurt. You don't have my best interest at heart. You're only interested in subverting what I'm trying to do, how you can undermine what I'm trying to do, and it could very well be true, but your spirit is not right. Your motives are not pure. And so when people say, "Well, you know, Bill, I just told you the truth, you know, I mean, because I love you." And, you know, I want to take them down to the St. John's River because they really don't care. So what I need to do is to separate out the fact that they really don't mean me well and see if there's a kernel of truth in what they're saying and then make the appropriate application to my life. Sometimes it's like the elephant in the room. Y'all know anything about that? See, in your relationships, every once in a while, an elephant will show up. And everybody walks around the elephant, and you know it's the elephant, and you kind of pat on the elephant, but nobody talks about the elephant. And 6 months from that point, the elephant has gotten bigger. And then 6 months from there, the only one that's in the room is the elephant, because nobody wants to talk about it. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's, you know, we're just not on the same page. Whatever it may be, that elephant can end up destroying your family. And so what we have to do is we have to speak carefully, but we have to be honest. We have to say those things that will do the ones that we love the most good. I can't remember which episode it was, but there was a scene in The Godfather where I think the guy that was in the military kissed his brother. I think his name was Fredo. Y'all, what did he do before they took him out to the boat? He kissed him. Kissed him on the lips. "Oh, I know it was you, Fredo." And he kissed him, and I thought, that's not good. This is not going to end well for old Fredo, you know. So they took Fredo right out in the middle of the lake, and then the camera turned away, and you heard you know how that is. I thought, man, you know, there are some people that that's how they want to do the truth with me. They really don't want to help you. They don't want to build you up. They don't want to encourage you, but they want to somehow or another subvert what you have been trying to do on behalf of Christ. Then law number three, we need to avoid angry words. I told you about Proverbs chapter 15 at verse 1 this morning, but I want you to run your finger down to verse 18. Proverbs chapter 15 at verse 18. Well, the record says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute." There's nothing like a person who has a long takes a whole lot to upset them. And they're not going to let me or the devil or anybody else get to them until they can go in their prayer closet and talk that over with God and then render the appropriate response. When my wife and I were in Hawaii, not one time did we ever hear anybody honk their horn. It's a sign of disrespect. It means that you're impatient. It means that you don't have your life together. It means that you're completely out of control. And it's the highest form of disrespect. Now, that's what they told us before we got off the airplane. And the whole time we were there, not one horn honked. And if you don't think the traffic wasn't bad, it was pathetic. It was horrible. Bumper to bumper, just about everywhere. Even at night, traffic bumper to bumper, you could just see ribbons of headlights, and not one horn was honked. I was looking at Asian culture the other day. And Asian culture is really fascinating because in Asian culture, you don't lose your cool because they have to save face. And they're not going to yell, and they're not going to act like a two-year-old like most Americans when they don't get their way. That doesn't happen in the Asian community. But for those of you who were in the military and you were stationed in the Far East, you do know that early in the morning, and I do remember this when I was stationed in Taiwan, early in the morning, you would hear people yelling. And you probably thought that something was wrong with them. Nothing was wrong with them. But they were yelling because they were saying they wanted to excise all of the negative energy from their body. You know what Americans do when we exercise? We don't say anything. But then we come home and yell at each other. See, I think the Asians have it. I think they have it right. When they're out on their walks, they're yelling. They're screaming. And there's nothing wrong with them. Well, that would take some getting used to. If you did that here, you walk up and down the street here yelling, then, you know, the cops going to pull you over and take you downtown. Dr. Davis, get in the car, you know. Why? I'm just yelling because I'm expelling the negative energy. Yeah, I know. Get in the car. You know, we don't understand that, but they understand that in the Asian culture. And so they don't yell at their children the way that I yelled at my son. They don't yell at each other the way that most of us do. Oh, I'm sorry, the way other people do. They have more respect for each other and they're not going to lose face. And so I close by asking you this tonight. Have you ever used the line when you're talking to your wife or talking to your husband? Have you ever just stopped and said, "Do you read me? Over? What? What did I just say?" I mean, I've been caught in that trap before, and I wasn't paying attention. And my wife was trying to see if I could repeat back to her what she just said to me. We need to do that every once in a while. Do you read me? Over. Did you hear what I just said? What is your understanding of what I just said? I think we need to do that to make sure that we're on the same page. And tonight I close by saying, we need to be on the same page with Jesus. Once we get on the same page with Jesus, these three inexorable laws will become a part of our ministries. And we will become known as a person that knows how to communicate. We'll become known as a person that you will find to listen to your situation and your concerns. Because you will know that they will listen intently. That they will not have a judgmental spirit. And they'll take whatever your concerns are to the throne of God. I know that all of us are members of the body of Christ tonight. And we have said a lot today about communication. I am under conviction about what I've shared with you, as I am with just about every message that I share with you. Because, again, I not only want to do better, I want to be better. And I know you do as well. If there is any way that we can help you draw closer to Jesus tonight, as a result of this message or as a result of a personal struggle that you're having, maybe there is someone in your family or someone in your extended family that you want us to pray with and pray for. then why don't you let us know what's going on in their life as well as yours while together we stand and sing.